We're up to Gemara Shabbos, Daf Nun Vav Amud Aleph, page Chaf Vav in the Ein Yaakov. And we're up to what is probably the stickiest, most difficult story in all of Tanakh. The story of David and Bathsheba. And we will try to understand it in depth. This will take a little bit of time, and so we will probably have to do two classes on this tonight. So let's begin with the harsh facts, okay? David HaMelech is for eternity called the great king of Israel. David HaMelech, long after he passes from the world, the Ribon Shalom says, I love him, and because of him, I will settle in the temple. Because of him, I will bless his son Solomon. So we know the end of the story. The Ribon Shalom loves David. But then we look at the beginning of the story and we have to ask why. That Ribon Shalom, you know better than us what he did wrong. And if we get goosebumps when we read the story, so then you could imagine that the Ribon Shalom was very upset by the story. But we know the end of the story. Meaning the Ribon Shalom does repeatedly say, after David's passing, because of the merits of David, I will stay with the house of Judah. And the Ribon Shalom tells us the future holds for us Mashiach ben David. The Messiah is going to be a descendant of David. It doesn't say a descendant of Judah. He is a descendant of Judah. It's the forces of Yehuda that he brings to play. It's the forces of Leah, the matriarch, that he brings to play. No, it's the forces of David. So when we approach the story, we know where we're going to end, yet we don't exactly understand how. Before we take the next step, yes?
I forgot a question I was supposed to ask.
Fine.
Can I ask you right now?
No. It's in
topic. It's based on what we're talking about.
So let's understand the story, and if you have questions, and then we'll get back to it.
Okay.
Sometimes in life, people have good excuses. And sometimes the excuses are very good, and technically they're 100% right. Yet you say to yourself, I don't want to have anything to do with the person. There's all the excuses in the world, but why would I want to have anything to do with them? And sometimes we look at the excuses and we say, okay, technically he's right, but it's still disgusting. And what the Gemara is going to show us is why technically, what David did was legal. But the prophet comes and tells him, you're going to be punished for what you did. And he got such severe punishments. His wives were violated. His children were murdered. He himself had a rebellion and he was almost killed. He got very big punishments. What the Gemara is doing is the Gemara is showing you a technicality. You should know that the letter of the law David adhered to. Okay. But there's still the spirit of the law. And there's still the element that everyone is disgusted when they hear the story. And for that, David paid a hefty price. But there's a difference between saying David violated a married woman and saying, technically, what David did was not legally violating a married woman. But it was still something that was pretty abhorrent to our ethics, to our understanding. And for that, David paid a very hefty price. What's the story? So our story begins with a conversation between David and the Ribon Shalom. David tells the Ribon Shalom, I'm working so hard to serve you. I want to be one of the patriarchs. Why can't I get to that level? And the Ribon Shalom tells him, they stood up to tests, and you didn't. So David says, then test me. And the Ribon Shalom says, you want a test, I'll give you, but I'm telling you in advance, you're going to fail. And David says, I'll try. The Ribon Shalom said, you asked for it, I'll give it to you. And in a later psalm, David looks back and says, Ribon Shalom, I'm so sorry I ever asked for that test. He is. Shigayon le David. David says, yeah, I made a big mistake. I shouldn't have asked for it. Hashem tells David, I'm going to do one better. The patriarchs never knew where I would test them, and they stood up to the test. I'm going to tell you in what area I will test you. You will know you are being tested, and you'll fail. Okay. David sends his men out to war. The tradition David has from his father, we're short on time, let's talk after class. The tradition David has from his father is that when you go out to war, you write a divorce to your wife. Just in case you get lost in war, the wife shouldn't be standing there in stagnation, spending her whole life not knowing whether she should remarry, she shouldn't remarry. So David has every man write a divorce contract on condition. If I don't make it back home from the war, you are hereby divorced from today. Okay, one of his top warriors is a young man named Uriah Hitti. How did David come to take Uriah Hitti into his forces? Well, when David was victorious over Goliath, he ran up to Goliath and wanted to cut off his head with Goliath's own sword. But he couldn't get Goliath's sword out of the sheath. Goliath had a special lock on the sheath, and he had to know how to maneuver it to get the sword out. So Goliath's arms bearer was a very brave warrior who kept his distance from David. His name was Uriah the Hittite, Uriah Hitti. And Uriah tells David, "You want to know how to unlock the sword?" David says, "Yes." He says, "You'll give me a Jewish girl, I'll convert to Judaism. You give me a Jewish girl, I'll show you how to unlock the sheath." David says, "You have a deal." A heavenly voice comes out and says, "You're making bargains with my girls? He's going to marry your wife." Heavenly voice has declared it. In heavens it was written that David's soulmate was Bathsheba. And in fact, Bathsheba is going to be the mother of King Solomon. She's going to be the mother of the future of the Davidic dynasty. But what happens after the David unlocks the sword, cuts off Goliath's head, and Uriah joins the Jewish people, becomes a great warrior among David's men, Uriah marries the granddaughter of the genius, the super genius Achitophel, a man whose advice was as good as asking God, and Achitophel has a granddaughter named Bathsheba. She's a little girl. She's a minor. And Uriah marries her. Fine. Uriah becomes one of David's great soldiers and goes out to war. David goes up onto a rooftop. It's nighttime. He's praying. He's compiling psalms. And the time has come to test David. Bathsheba goes on a rooftop to immerse in a mikveh. Don't ask me why they had mikvehs on rooftops. Perhaps out of modesty. Perhaps it was an easier way to gather rain in the city. If her rooftop was next to David's castle, then you have to assume it was within a city. Within a city, it's very hard to gather rainwater. So perhaps that's why they had a mikveh on a rooftop. And they had curtains around the mikveh. And now, their Bonsham sends Satan and says, "Go, test him. He's asked for a test. Give him a big one, okay?" So David goes out on the rooftop and he sees a huge bird fly by. And he says, "Wow, I'd love to catch that bird." He has his bow and arrow with him. David's bow had a copper string. It didn't have a string. It was a piece of copper. And David, with all his might, pulls back the bow, throws in a spear, shoots it at the bird. It's not really a bird. He's being played on. And the arrow doesn't hit the bird. It goes straight through all the hooks of the curtain, and the curtain drops down, and he sees Bathsheba. Now, he was told he's going to be tested in this area. So David is very excited with what he sees, and he's very taken. He's very taken by her beauty. She's 7 years old. Okay? She's married. David asks people, "I saw in a few buildings over, there's a girl over there. Who is that girl?" They tell him, "That's Bathsheba. She's the wife of your great soldier, Uriah." David calculates to himself two things. He says, she's not married right now. He gave her a divorce contract when he left to war. Technically, she's not married. David says, "Okay, this is my test. And I could stand up to it. But Rabon Shalom, then I'll be right and you'll be wrong. You said I wouldn't stand up to it." And with that calculation, he succumbs. Now, you'll ask me, what kind of calculation is that? I don't know. That's what Chazal say. Chazal said when he stood at the moment, he had a moment of clarity, and he said, "I could be right, but that wouldn't be respectful." So there's an element, right, that sounds humorous, right? But there is an element where David has thought about that too. And
he doesn't think that's the test, or what?
He knew that was the test.
But it's not, okay. Sometimes it's too easy for him, almost. What are you
You see, he lost. He invites Bathsheba to his house. He's intimate with her. And she goes back home. 3 months pass, and she sends a letter to David and says, I'm pregnant. So David says, okay, Uriah's still alive. If Uriah stays at war and dies, how will she explain how she got pregnant? If Uriah comes home, I will have retroactively transgressed, because retroactively she's not divorced. But no one will know that I transgressed. It'll be a private transgression I have to do tshuva for. If he doesn't come home, everyone's going to know, and then it'll be a public transgression. David decides, let me summon Uriah home, and then I'll have my own tshuva to do. He calls Uriah back. If it's short.
Sure.
Yeah.
You're not for sure that she was seven? Or is it like...
No. The Gemara says she was seven.
Could you be pregnant when she's seven?
The Gemara proves that in ancient times, people got pregnant at a younger age. The Gemara in Sanhedrin shows that from numerous sources. The Gemara says in their days already, people didn't get pregnant at seven. But I'll tell you that in certain cultures, girls get pregnant at a much younger age. The Gemara says that for a girl to get pregnant at a young age in the Talmud's time was medically dangerous, as it is today. But the Talmud says that they were able to get pregnant at younger ages in the days of the Tanakh. And the Gemara asks this question. The verse doesn't say she was seven. Again, it's 2 points of tradition, but I will tell you that in South America, girls get pregnant at much younger ages than other places. There is a cultural impact. It's known that different cultures can get pregnant at younger ages. They develop at younger ages, and they can also carry a baby at younger ages. So he summons Uriah back. Uriah comes to the castle, and this part of the story we already discussed last week. He sends him home. He has a good meal with him. He tells him, go, be with your wife. And Uriah goes to sleep at the palace gates. The next morning, David hears he was at the palace gates. He asks, what's going on here? He says, my master Yoav's out of war. The Aron is out of war. How could I go just be with my wife at the time of war? Spiritually, we're not at the right place. The ark isn't in its place. Physically, the whole people are out there in danger. I'm going to go be with my wife. So David had told him to go home. Here he went against the king. David gives him to drink. He gives him to eat. He gets him good and drunk. He ends the meal and sends him home. And Uriah goes back to sleep with David's servants. He does not go home. So David has told him to do something, and he refuses. That's called, by Jewish law, that's called rebelling against the king. If the king gives a person instruction and the person doesn't listen, legally, by Jewish law, that's called rebellion. I think in non-Jewish law as well. David sends him back to war, and he sends a letter sealed to Yoav, his nephew, the chief general. He tells him, when you go to war, advance towards the city, pull back, see where the fighting is heaviest, put Uriah there, pull back with your men, and then Uriah will fall, and let me know what happened. Okay, they go to war. They advance to a city, so close to the city that people can just throw down rocks and kill the men. Yoav pulls back. Uriah gets killed together with many other soldiers, and there's a mutiny. Yoav's men turn on him. They say, you just killed our men. What you did was suicide. You meant to kill people here. We're rebelling. And David's forces go up in arms against his nephew, the chief general. And Yoav, in the heat of the moment, isn't sure what he's supposed to do. Everyone's coming against him. And this is where we'll pick up after David.